It's Tuesday, the 12th of March, and it's time to get your gaming grin on with the Game Grin Grincast. Let's talk about games. Aaron.
Hi.
Girls and girls.
Hello.
I'm Jackman.
Hi.
Today we've got something to talk about, but we're not going to talk about that just yet. We'll talk about something else. Aaron, what games have you been playing?
I played Elden Ring recently. It was fun. I'm still very early on into it, but I sure did the stabbity stabby. I even got a cool weapon that helps build up blood.
Builds up blood?
Or, well, I guess a bleed effect on opponents.
Oh.
But it's funnier for me personally if I say it builds up blood in that moment.
Well, technically, the weapon has, like, dried blood on it, and its special attacks is you shake it off, and it becomes a projectile.
That is a very good point, yeah. Admittedly, I've forgotten to actually use that special attack so far, but I've learned that I probably should be using it.
And was that the first time you've played Elden Ring?
Second time. I played it a little bit months ago, and then stopped playing for a little bit so I could play some other game, and then I forgot to get back to it until now.
Curse of the backlog.
Yeah.
Goes. What about you?
I played Clash, Artifacts of Chaos, where you play as a humanoid with a head shaped like a penis, complete with two sacks under his chin.
Ah, Thanos.
No, he doesn't have socks under his chin.
Yes, he does.
Like, if those are socks, then there's very many balls in them.
He's an alien. How do you know he doesn't have them?
I do not. That's a good point. I'm sorry to all the aliens that might have been listening, I assumed.
You racist.
I think technically a xenophobe.
He's got you there.
Yeah, sure. You were playing it on stream, weren't you? So have you been enjoying it?
So far, yeah. I'm still not quite sure what I'm doing. But in the game, you do a lot of exploring and punching. And every single character in the game is a very, very unique design. It's like, and also it has like a rendering style of, like, it's very cartoony. It has like sketchy lines on everything, and they twitch. The lines twitch. So the entire game looks a bit like a drug trip.
Oh, sorry, Aaron. You also streamed Elden Ring on our Twitch channel, didn't you?
Yes, alongside Gores.
Hey.
And Gores didn't do very much.
He helped out in very key moments.
I was, when I wasn't helping, I was just in my game farming clothes and armor to give to Aaron when we meet.
And of course offering delicious commentary.
So if you're interested in checking out streams like that, go to twitch.tv/gamegrin.
Yes, if you enjoy a very, very clear commentary from Aaron and a confused, stuttery, stumbly commentary from me, then yeah.
Sometimes we even swap places.
Yeah, Goz doesn't get very well edited on Twitch streams. So, Jackman, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I started Yakuza 5, which has been fun. So the amount of different mini games and stuff is a bit much. Other than that, I've been playing a bit of Doom Eternal, trying to fight my way through the final part of Ancient Gods, which is both fun and horrible, and basically just preparing mentally for Dragon's Dogma 2 that comes out in just under 2 weeks.
So you should have a character created by then.
I may or may not be doing it right now.
Oh.
We're recording a podcast. How rude.
What have you got so far for your character?
I'd rather not say.
You have nothing, do you? Don't you?
No. To be honest, I'm actually quite... I'm not too bothered about spending that much time on character creator. I'm just not... I'm not creative enough for it.
Yeah, I'm always saying, oh, I created Shrek in this character creator, and I'm like, but I just selected preset 3, changed the hair to purple, and started the game.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. For me, I always like go, yeah, I don't really want to start with the preset. I'm going to start from scratch. And then I just kind of end up going with a lot of the default options anyways.
Yeah. Though, to its credit, I've seen a lot of interesting creations. Like, someone's made a very convincing version, I suppose, of the two characters from Baldur's Gate, Eliazel and Shadowheart.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I'm waiting for the King Bowser's and Yoshi's and Mario's, though.
I think I saw, like, a Dante from Devil May Cry and a Kratos.
Featuring from?
Yes, featuring Kratos. Featuring Kratos from the God of War series. Definitely the right character to list there.
Yes.
I like it when a character creator is so versatile that you can just create characters from other games.
Yeah, there was a big boom in Soul Calibur 5, where there were a lot of very interesting creations. It was a fun time.
I just want to play a Sonic in Dragon's Dogma.
Gotta go fast.
As for me, I played and finished Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh my god!
Congrats!
No, no one's ever finished that game in the history of the world.
How long had you been playing it?
Like 70 hours. It's a staggering amount of time to me personally, because it didn't feel that long. But to be fair, I started playing it one of my birthdays was following the release of the game. And just kept having large swathes of time where I wasn't playing it.
Do you think you'll keep playing it, like, say, for another 7 hours?
No, I played it until I've experienced an ending and I've done all of the stuff I wanted to do. I was not interested in doing any fist fighting or racing. I've also done I finished the Phantom Liberty DLC a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, I've done everything I want to do in that game.
Congrats. It's too bad that you didn't get up to 77 hours in 2077, but that would just satisfy my lizard brain and isn't actually important.
Okay, I'll start on the extra 7 hours now.
I'm glad you really enjoyed the time of it. I mean, 70 hours is a lot of time to be enjoying something.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think because I was doing in like stages, I didn't have enough time to get fed up of it. I was just playing and enjoying what was there and then taking a break rather than playing it until I got sick of it.
That seems like a healthy way to play games.
But now I need something else to move on to. Speaking of moving on, we have decided this week to talk about Metaphor ReFantazio. Well, not that specifically, but it will come up because the screenshots of it make it look very similar to other recent Atlus games. And so Jackman wanted to talk about reusing engines. And honestly, the most famous one that I know would be Bethesda using the same engine for 15 different games.
Fallout and Fallout 2 are like the old games of Fallout. Fallout and Fallout 2 are exactly the same thing, just different storylines, different characters.
They're not from Bethesda either.
Similarly, the Nancy Drew series of point-and-click adventure games
used
like the same engine for the first like 30-some games and just sort of updated and iterated on it over time. And swapped that with like different plot lines and different character models, which, since it was a point-and-click adventure game with the focus being on mystery, it kind of made sense to have the story be the thing that changes each time, as opposed to the mechanics or the engine.
Well, yeah, point-and-clicks have a history of doing that. Monkey Island 1 and 2, same engine. Simon the Sorcerer 1 and 2.
True.
Simon Dark Souls.
Another one that I quite remember... Majora's Mask, for instance, though that was partly due to not having a lot of time to make it following Ocarina of Time, I believe.
That's true. Though in this case, it'd be like them releasing Sword Boy Adventures Episode 1 by using the same engine and giving Link a tuxedo.
True. I guess there is a bit of a different conversation between using the same engine and stuff for another game in a series or franchise versus just another game by the same people.
Yeah. I think what brought this along, to give some context, is when I first saw Persona 3...
Reload, I think.
Reload, thank you. Even though it's a gorgeous game, I'm really happy what they did and what they changed. I couldn't help but see some similarities to Persona 5. Like, the main character's walking animation seems to be... I'm not sure about this, I haven't checked. But it seems to be pretty one-to-one with Joker's walking animation, with a few slight adjustments. And with that thought in mind, when I looked at the new title coming up, it looks like it's the same thing again. Which, I mean, you have to get everything you can out of an engine. Sure, it's a costly investment, but this I kind of felt was going beyond what is... saying proper is a bit obtuse, but it felt a bit much to me.
Yeah, that's fair. Definitely, to look at the like trailer and the images released for the game, there's a lot of it that's remarkably similar. I hadn't noticed the walking animation being similar, but I think something like that definitely should be changed for a different character, both for like within a series and especially for outside of a series, because that can tell you a lot about who a character is. And so just reusing the same animation kind of lessens a lot of the characterization details for all the characters involved.
I agree.
Yeah. I will say I haven't really played Reload at all, 3 Reload at all, and I've only really looked at the trailer and looked over the images a bit. Metaphor Refantasio definitely shares a lot of UI elements and art style stuff with Persona 5, which I've played, a lot of details and all that jazz. I do think that there's some like differences in the content of the game. The story looks very different, and I could just be bad at recognizing like monster designs, but it felt like the like stuff it was going for its despite the similarities, I felt that the combats and the creature designs were very distinct from a lot of the other Atlas things that have come out.
It is definitely...
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say that, admittedly, yes, the turn-based aspects of the fighting looks incredibly similar to Persona's turn-based stuff, and I'm hoping that the real-time aspects of the combat will be more prominent in order to not edge on that space as much, but it is still very close.
I mean, it's kind of like comparing, let's say, the Elder Scrolls Oblivion to Fallout 3, which both came out same time-ish and used the same engine. But looking at the games, the menus, for example, are quite different with the whole Pip-Boy thing in Fallout. The combat is different with the bat system. There's enough of a difference there that even though it is using, I believe it's using the same engine, they feel like very separate entities. And this is all conjecture until Phantasma Memoria, whatever it is, comes out. And to be fair, the game has been teased before and during the development of, well, maybe not before, but at least during the development of Persona 5, so it's not exactly something new. Having the battle menu being the same revolving circle type dealio is a bit weird, and the menus, like you said, are very similar. And to be honest, seeing the character roster, I have a feeling there's this like Fennec Fox looking cat thing with a big head. I'm just scared it's going to be Mona 2.0.
Yeah.
Morgana.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
Not Koromaru.
No, the doggy's fine.
Well, my. And it's not really a matter of the engine in this case, but I have a big issue with recent From Software games since Demon's Souls. In that, like, they probably use the same engine, like, but yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's just the games are way too similar. Especially from, like, Dark Souls 1 to 3... there isn't enough change for me to almost necessitate a new game.
Mm.
Yeah, that's fair, honestly. As much as I've enjoyed playing Dark Souls 3, for instance, I wouldn't mind if like I'd only played Dark Souls 2, because I love that one, and I haven't quite enjoyed 3 or 1 as much. I would argue that I think that Bloodborne and Elden Ring do a bit more to be different games, but also that's just through adding in new mechanics and having either a very different style with Bloodborne or some slight differences and some large departures in the gameplay with Elden Ring. But the Dark Souls series itself definitely has a bit of a similarity problem. So whether that's a problem is, I guess, dependent on the person.
Yeah, and the thing about the Souls games, while I do agree with girls that there is a lot of similarities, and even games that are not technically Souls games, like Bloodborne, which are their own thing, they're still just the same thing, different stripes. Like, instead of bonfires, you've got lanterns, whoop-de-doo. But there is usually at least some kind of difference in the games, such as the importance of certain stats and the lack thereof of others, which kind of makes them feel a bit more unique, I suppose. So again, I do agree that the usefulness and the need for them is questionable.
To me, especially with... Sorry, Aaron, go on.
No, I... Go ahead, it's fine.
To me, especially with, like, Souls, like, becoming a genre, because we got, like, more than one of those games. You got Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, and both were pretty popular. So you got a Souls-like genre now, and so many people are just... imitating those games very closely. It's just every time I see a Souls-like game or try to play a Souls-like game, I just call everything. It's all like it's almost down to the level design with like, oh, I'm gonna hide an enemy that jumps out behind this corner right as you walk out the door. Or an enemy that is attached to a wall or attached to the ceiling and drops down.
Yeah. I'll say for my for my part, with the Souls-likes, I've only played a few that aren't from Software. Code Vein,
Software, yeah.
Lies of P, and the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and Survivor games. And I do like Code Vein a bit, but I think it is very similar to the Souls things. Lies of P also has a lot of similarities, but I think it's different enough in a few key ways, though not very far into it, but just going by like reviews and the little I've played. But I think that the Star Wars ones, Jedi Fallen Order, and especially the bit I've played of Jedi Survivor, do a lot to sort of innovate a bit within, or at least diversify a bit, their own games as Souls-likes. Admittedly, that's just like one-ish example, and there's a lot of other Souls-likes that don't try to do a whole lot different, but there's at least something. And also, to the point earlier with Jackman's point of Fallout and Oblivion, I think that is a very good point of like making sure that a lot of the style stuff and the worlds feel very different, because Metaphor of Fantasio especially, it feels very blatantly like Persona 5 in a lot of its style, as you said, with like the wheel menus, and there's all the like pop-up dialogue around everywhere, and especially whenever like something is highlighted or something comes on screen or something, it's got this like nice little red splash effect of sorts, which feels very much like Persona 5, and it feels like it'd be very easy to just sort of go for a different, more maybe generic fantasy-esque style, as opposed to aping Persona 5.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue is, if you're going to use the same engine, well, again, like it's been said, the engine may not be the issue here, but if you're going to be similar to Persona 5 with a similar look, and possibly even similar mechanics, it really begs the comparison to Persona, which may be a bad thing if they're trying to bring out a new IP, since in that case it may be smart to distance themselves from the other monster fighting turn-based series thing.
Yeah. Admittedly, you could say there's like a reason to have it feel more like Persona 5, in that people love Persona 5. They'll want to play this thing that is kind of like Persona 5 if it looks more like Persona 5, but I do agree that it probably should distance itself a bit, a great bit more than this, because like, I imagine people want to play a variety of things.
Well, Atlus already have Shin Megami Tensei 5 coming out on all the platforms, so they already have a Persona like, because Persona was a spin-off of Shin Megami Tensei. So is this just the Atlus style now? Have they seen that people really liked how Persona 5 looked, and okay, well, we'll make everything look like that then?
Oh god, I wished so hard for a new Trauma Center game before, but now those wishes are turning to ash. Well, I don't want a Trauma Center game that looks like Persona 5.
So did their past games look that much different, or did they look was the style different because of hardware limitations?
No, I don't.
And Persona 5 is just a logical evolution of their of what they were always making. Because I think of like Suda 51 Grasshopper Manufacture games. You can look up Killer 7, which is an old, old game, and look up like No More Heroes or Killer is Dead, which are newer ones, and like visually they look the same, just like more betterer because the hardware allows for it.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, honestly. And I do think that at least Atlus's Persona and Shin Megami Tensei series have for a long time sort of had a relatively consistent art style that's been developing. Some of the earlier stuff looks very different from the stuff now. And as it's gone from more 2D things to 3D things, it's gotten a bit less like stark color shadows and stuff. But I think it has definitely been a sort of relatively consistent art style. And so it might just be that this is their art style now for Persona and Shin Megami Tensei games. But there's plenty of other games that they make as a company that don't look like this.
That, I'd argue, looking at Persona 3 and 4 is a good example, since they're both in the PS2 era, though there is some time between them, of course. But stylistically, at least in my opinion, they are very individual. Persona 3 has always been a bit more somber, a bit more melancholy, or even a bit edgy. Whereas, even though the subject matters are equally bleak, Persona 4 was very light and colorful, though not quite as chaotic as Persona 5.
I mean,
so the design of the games really gave a bit more oomph to the tone of the game as well.
I would say on an art style level, Persona 4 and Persona 3 are still like very similar with their sort of like base character designs and how the people look in the world and how the world looks, but definitely the design is very distinct. Between 3 and 4 look a lot more different than 5 does to this game, this metaphor.
Agreed, and like I said, this is all conjecture until it comes up, and we can actually see if it's just first appearances. I mean, naturally, like I said, they'd want to use they've spent a lot of time working on the Persona 5 engine, and I think having it be modular to be able to use it in many games is a good idea, but I just hope it doesn't make them lazy. Though I say that, but they had to remake all of the monster designs in Persona 3, since the monsters there are not Personae, they're just generic shadow things.
Actually, I wanted to bring up, and I think Ace will be able to speak more on it. What do you think of Yakuza games? Because those, like, reuse the town over and over, and I imagine they reuse a lot of stuff. And I used to have, like, a big problem with that, like, they are lazy. But I got over it because of the other things in the games. But what are your feelings?
That's a good point. The engine for Yakuza 6 was definitely used for Yakuza 0, and I'm pretty sure they just updated it a bit for Yakuza Kiwami 1 and Kiwami 2.
I think, sorry, I might be wrong on this, but I think they used the engine of 5 for Yakuza Kiwami 1 and 2, and they used 6 for 0.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
No. I'd like this to be factual. I was wrong. So the town itself of Kamurocho, they do use it in almost every game, but it's always changed the locations of, well, not the locations of shops, the shops available will change in some of the locations. There's some that are like iconic places, so they don't change those, but there's always somewhere different inside to go. Like in one of the games, you go in the pachinko hall, and that's the only game you go in the pachinko hall.
Very true.
I want to say, and it's half joking, but them changing the games in the arcade is almost worth it.
That's true.
Because you get these classic games with Ayakuza game.
Just stop putting out Running. I hate that game.
I just checked because I'm neurotic like that. Zero and One used the engine from 5, I believe, and 2 used... 2, I mean 2 used 6. Sorry about that.
Okay, great. That explains why 2 looks so much better than 1.
Agreed.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with how 1 looks, but compare the 2 and it's night and day.
Yeah.
I think... To me, it I thought it was an issue when I saw Judgment first time, and it's like it is just Kamurocho again, but it's a different kind of story now. But it's still like you could use the entire level and just change it a bit cosmetically and remove some stuff, add some other stuff. But
good point, because I think there's also value in their use of Kamurocho as like a continuous point, meaning that at some point in the game you'll be going back to Kamurocho even if you don't start off there, like in Yakuza 5 you start in somewhere completely else, I can't remember where. There's Okinawa as well in 4?
3.
Sorry, 3. So having these different locales, but still going back to Kamurocho where it's familiar, can also be like this positive influence as well. Because it's familiar, you know where everything is, and it's cool because it grows with you.
Yeah, it helps you connect better with the characters because Kiryu is from Kamurocho and he grew up in Kamurocho and that's where all the major events of his life take place for the most part. So it plays into the characters to have it there as a continuous thing. And I was going somewhere with it. It just went out of my head.
I think it's just that. Having the city of Kamurocho, I'm not sure if it's just a district or whatever, but having it as its own character, kind of, sort of, is a good thing. How it relates to the characters, how it seems to be the scene for a lot of very weird and convoluted plans.
Yeah, the story throughout the Yakuza and Like a Dragon franchise has been a continuous one. So you get to see how the city was in the 80s in Yakuza 0, and then you get to see it in Kiwami 1, Kiwami 2, and every time you revisit the city, you see how it's changed, how it's developed. I mean, it's entirely fictional, so they can do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, honestly, I've only really played 7, and I still felt that the world had a lot of inertia in it just going in as like a first timer there, even with that sort of being a soft reboot. And honestly, it does seem that like reusing elements in, you know, great ways like this can really add to a lot of impact for a game with its story or gameplay or whatnot. Maybe it's just that to reuse engines and stuff, you have to try to make impactful changes.
Well, the thing is, we've been talking about Yakuza, which is a series, and Persona, which is a series, but this is a game that is not part of, at least I don't think so, it's not part of a series. It's a completely new IP.
Well, you have Judgment.
True, but that's a spin-off of the... like, Persona is basically a spin-off of Shin Megami Tensei. That's true, but it's... Judgment is still Yakuza stuff.
The story, it does, like, cross over with Yakuza. So it's literally set in the same world. Same cities as well.
So I think then for something that isn't set in sort of the same overarching story or world or universe or spin-off-y stuff, I think it is probably fine to reuse an engine, but I think definitely they need to change a lot more of the style stuff, like with between Bethesda's Fallout and Bethesda's Elder Scrolls. There's definitely some notable similarities even just by playing them, like the wheel that tells you, well, not really wheel, like the compass thing that tells you where to go. That seems to be roughly the same between the two of them, but a lot of the style is very different. As you said, the pause screens are very different. I think putting more effort in to make things feel different when you're not building it from the ground up with a different engine makes a lot of sense and should be standard practice. Because, like, reusing an engine is very helpful for, like, cutting costs and stuff, since they put a lot of work into making a given engine. But, yeah, more effort into making it appear distinct.
I'm going to assume that the Metaphor game, like, will have enough stuff different to excuse them, like, reusing their pipeline. I'm gonna call it.
Honestly, yeah, fair. In the trailer, I'm pretty sure the main character guy can sort of go around on a hoverboard of some sort, and that enough seems fun and different.
Yeah.
I think, like, with visual novels, JRPGs are played mainly for the story. So, like, if the story is different enough and the characters are good, then that's everything else is fine.
Yeah.
Of course, it would be good if, like, the gameplay is engaging, but, like, I'm not worried about that with Atlas.
Okay, I think that about wraps up our episode. Thank you for joining me, Erin, Guzguz, and Jackman.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to the Grincast. Your support means a lot. If you want to hear more from us, listen to our anime podcast, The Pals Anime Lounge. And of course, check out our writings on GameGrin.com. And until next time, game on.